Our reading this morning is from 2 Samuel 22, and you'll find it on page 328 if you've got a Bible on the way in, and words will also be on the screen. And this is a psalm of David, which is also part of 2 Samuel 22, and it's quite long, but we're going to read the whole thing, and get a real idea of what he's singing about. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it to you. So it's from verse 1 of 2 Samuel 22. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people you save me. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise and have been saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of breath from his nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has rewarded me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure. But to the devious you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. You, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them completely and they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries before me. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. To the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I pounded and trampled them like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have preserved me as the head of nations. People I did not know now serve me. Foreigners cower before me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God, the rock, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who puts the nations under me, who sets me free from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to good David and his descendants forever. Amen. Sometimes people might say that our modern songs are quite long, and they're based on this psalm, which is quite long. But it's also a psalm that speaks to us today, or a passage that speaks to us today. We're now drawing near to the end of our series, looking at different parts of the life of David. We're, as it were, coming into land. And if you've been with us for the time, or at least some of the time, you'll know that it's been quite a journey. From being anointed as a shepherd boy, seems a long, long time ago now, to the killing of Goliath, and then the years on the run from Saul, then until his becoming king, and all that followed that we've been thinking about over recent weeks. There has been the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's been quite a lot of bad and ugliness. Yes, he was a man after God's own heart. That's how he's described way back in 1 Samuel. And yet he was flawed. And things didn't turn out as you might have expected with this man becoming king. Wasn't the fairy tale ending that you might have predicted. And last week we were thinking about how his own son Absalom led a coup against him, and of how David in that still trusted in God. And we now jump forward. You can read all that happens in the chapters in between, but Absalom is killed. And David is able to reassert himself on the throne. And now we're coming towards the end of his life. He's an older man now. He's no longer the shepherd boy. And as the events of his life come to an end, the writer puts in this song. A song of praise that David has written. And it seems like they are words that he had written a while back, because they're words that you can find pretty much in Psalm 18. There's a lot of similarities, and it's maybe a psalm that he's lived with and that he's adapted as he's grown older and reflected and looks back on his life. And it's very much was partly an expression of thankfulness to God. But who God had been to him, of what God had done for him. And there's a lot in the psalm. It's a long psalm. But there are just a couple of things that I want us to reflect on, that David reflects on as he looks on what God has done for him in his life. And as he reflects on his God, what kind of a God is he? Well, he's, first of all, he's a God that David has found, that he's a God of security and stability. Towards the beginning of the psalm, he says these words, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Later on, he says, who is God besides the Lord? Who is the rock except our God? Rock. You're out swimming. You're swimming in the sea. And you're daydreaming as you swim because it's abroad, so the water's warm. And as you're swimming, you suddenly feel a little bit tired. And so you think, well, I'll just put my feet down and have a wee rest. And you put your feet down to have a wee rest, and you realize that you've actually gone a bit further out than you thought. And there's nothing beneath your feet. And you begin to get bit more tired, and you actually begin to feel a little bit cold, which is not a good sign. And you think to yourself, I'm in trouble here. And so you swim, panicking a little bit, in order to get closer to the shore. And with great sense of relief, you put your feet down, and underneath you is solid ground. There's rock. David knew God to be his rock, to be that solid ground on which he could stand, on which he could depend. Firm ground that would not give way. And in his life, there could be uncertainty. There was great uncertainty. There were events, dear boy, events in his life. But what he had found was that when he had put his foot down, the rock was there. As well as being the rock, there's this image, isn't there, of refuge, shelter, safety. This is something we touched on last week when we thought about Psalm 3, which David also wrote, and he talks about when his life was in a mess, when he was in crisis, he knew God as his shelter, as his shield, as his refuge. Who is the rock in your life? Where do you find refuge, safety? David would say, you can find that in God. That's what I've found. But David also describes it's God also as a God who he had found was a God who had power to save. In verse 4, David describes in very poetic terms how he had found himself in trouble. He talks about the waves of death swirling around him. He talks about the torrent of destruction that overwhelmed him. He talks about the coils, cords of the grave coiled around him. He's trying to tell us something. He says his enemies were out to get him. And we don't know, was that Saul or was it other folks? Whoever it was serious. And in his distress, he says, I called out to God. And God heard me. And God saved him. And the way he describes it is that he describes God saving him with and delivering him. He describes it, God doing it so, with great power and in great poetic language. He talks about how the earth trembled and quaked. He says, smoke rose from his nostrils, consuming fire came from his mouth. He parted the heavens and came down, David says. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Lord Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare. Now, he's not talking literally here. There weren't literal bolts of lightning. God didn't really blast a breath from his nostrils. But what he's doing is he's using picture language to show how God had been at work. God's power had been present in delivering David from his enemies. He doesn't downplay it. As David thinks of God hearing his cry and saving him, he doesn't just say, yeah, I knew God was at work in my circumstances. I knew God answering my prayer. Now, that was true. No, he describes who this God was and of how God had done so with power. And he wanted people to realize that this was the living God who had intervened in his life. This was the living God who had come down and saved him in power. He armed me with the strength for the battle, he says. He humbled my adversaries before me. Our God is mighty to save. He hears our cries and he comes to us to provide, to help, to save. And he does so as the living God. And we see that most of all in Jesus Christ, don't we? God hears our cry for help. And he comes down to us in Jesus Christ to give of himself for us so that we might have life where there is death, so that we might have light where there is darkness, and hope where there is despair. We have this Psalm of David as David is describing how God had saved him from his adversaries in battle or wherever. Imagine what, and if David describes that in this way, just for that, imagine what David would write about how God comes to us in Jesus, gives himself for us, dies on a cross, rises from the dead. That is the God that we have. You might think that your problems are too big for him. You might think that the things that are going on in your life are just, well, I don't see how God can bring good out of this. I don't see what God is what is God doing in it all? I've cried to him. You might wonder, is he big enough? David would say, he's well big enough. This is what happened to me. A God who can be our rock and our shelter, a God who's mighty to save, who has power to save. He's also a God that David found had made him righteous. There are some quite difficult verses, well, quite a few difficult verses in this passage, but there's one passage part in the passage especially that you might have raised questions about if you were listening. Listen again to what David says from verse 21. This is David speaking. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. Does that raise any questions for you? It's very tempting as a minister just to, well, these verses don't, they're not there. We'll just pass over them. Is this the same David who messed up with all the shenanigans, all that went on with Bathsheba and Uriah? Is this the same David who in Psalm 51 says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me? How can he say that and then also say, I'm blameless? Is he really saying that he is rewarded according to his righteousness? Is he deluded? Has he forgotten what's happened? Has the writer of 1st, 2nd Samuel, who's just written about all that's happened, has the writer of the 2nd Samuel got a bit confused? Well, maybe chapter 10, 11, 12, 13 didn't really happen. It's a puzzling part of the passage. Now, there's part of it in which it is true, in which what he is saying is in his heart. He was someone, despite the ugliness and the badness, he was someone who was committed to his Lord, despite his failings. He wasn't someone who rejected God. No, he had major downs as well as the ups, but through it all, with the dips, he was able to look back and say, yeah, in my life, I have sought to live a life of devotion to him. A life of righteousness. And that is part of what he is describing here. He's a messy character, but then we're all messy characters. And we might say, yeah, I'm committed to Jesus Christ, to living for him, to being his person, and yet we still do stuff. We might say, I seek to keep the ways of the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. But he also seems to be talking about and pointed towards a righteousness that comes from God. How can he say, I am righteous, when he's already said, I am sinful from birth? Well, the only way he can say that he is righteous is because God has made him righteous in God's sight. Gift of God. He isn't saying, I've done no wrong, because everybody can see he's done wrong. But what he's saying is that God has, through faith, made him righteous. And we see a picture of this with all that happened with Bathsheba and Uriah and afterwards. After he is confronted with it, what does he do? He prays. And we have the prayer in Psalm 51. And he prays, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Blot it out. Create in me, he says, create in me a pure heart. He's praying that despite the mess, that God would make him pure, that God would make him righteous, so that when God looks at him, he doesn't see the sin, but he sees righteousness. And Nathan, the prophet who helps him, comes to David in chapter 12 and he confronts David with it all. But he also says these words. The Lord has taken away your sin. The Lord has taken away your sin. Clean heart. And it's the gift of God. It's the Lord who's done it. David's not earned it. And that is what we are offered in Jesus Christ. And Romans 4 talks all about this if you want to read about it. It talks about how in Jesus we have forgiveness. That in Jesus we are given his righteousness. He takes our sin and he gives us his righteousness. When we trust him, when we receive him in faith, then we have that same promise. the Lord has taken away your sin. And we can know that freedom from guilt and from shame that we perhaps carry with us again and again. Perhaps this morning, God is wanting you to know that Jesus, he's taken away your sin. Rock, security, power to save, someone who can make us righteous. David is saying, this is what God has done for me. And he says, because of all this, God is a God who is worthy of my praise and your praise. The Lord lives, he says, praise be to my rock, exalted be my God, the rock, my Savior. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I'll praise you. As David looks back over his life, he sees a God who was his rock, who was his refuge, who heard his cries, who forgave him, who made him righteous. And so he praises him. And as we come to know the same God, the God who is our refuge and our rock, the God who has heard our cries and has power to save, the God who takes away our sin through Jesus Christ, that we too this morning can join him in saying, exalted be my God, the rock, my Savior. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness through every season of life, for hearing us when we cry out to you, and for being our rock, our refuge, our Savior. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to save us from our sin and our guilt and shame, and to make us righteous in your sight. Help us to trust you more deeply, to stand firmly on your promises, and to live each day in grateful praise. Exalted be you, God, our rock and our Savior. Amen.